The Kansas Tax Practitioners Symposium, hosted by the Kansas Chapter of the National Association of Tax Professionals, was held August 21st at Johnson County Community College. There were several presentations by IRS departments updating us on recent developments. I hope you gain something from this discussion on Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
The 2019 Kansas Tax Practitioners Symposium, hosted by the National Association of Tax Professionals, began with an introduction by the stakeholder liaison. Our current one is changing jobs within the IRS, so I hope that the next replacement will be as good as she has been. She has helped me to go to several IRS events and has helped me to be involved in several items that I have used for this podcast. So I hope the next person working in her position does just as good a job as she has. Her name is Eden Holzman. The next presentations were on identity theft, examinations, the Taxpayer Advocate Service, field collection, criminal investigation, appeals, and it ended with an ethics presentation on Circular 230. I'm going to focus at the beginning on criminal investigation and appeals. Criminal investigation has 2,900 employees worldwide. 2,100 of them are special agents. It is the only agency with jurisdiction over Title 26 violations. So that is criminal tax violations. They also deal with violations of Title 18, money laundering, and Title 31, the Bank Secrecy Act. Now, as a list from one of the slides on what areas they work on, international tax fraud, refund crimes, abusive tax schemes, employment tax, the Frivolous Arguments Program, Money Laundering / Bank Secrecy Act, political / public corruption, cyber crimes, including virtual currency, the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, and the Fraud Referral Program. In the Office of Refund Crimes, they look at return preparer programs, questionable refund program, identity theft, and cyber crimes. Within return preparer fraud, they're looking at individuals that may or may not have knowledge of false items prepared on their tax returns. Criminal investigation takes an approach of investigation regarding scheme development, taxpayers and informants, and collaboration with other IRS business units. For example, in investigating return preparer fraud, in looking at the EFINs, electronic filing identification numbers, for ones that have been suspended or revoked, going through the years, field year 2014, 394 suspended or revoked, 2015, 329, 2016, 358, and 2017, 412. Within the questionable refund program, they look at people filing fraudulent returns using false documents, including identity theft. They do education and outreach to try and reach people so that they're discouraged from committing crimes, such as their knock and talk visit program, where special agents will partner with revenue agents, that they do educational visits with return preparers, people identified by their scoring system. So overall, trying to dissuade people from continuing to do various tax crimes. They do field office special agent visits, media publicity, and YouTube videos, and they will do various success measures to see if those outreaches are reaching the criminals and dissuading them from committing further crimes. Within their oversight of emerging threats, they look at data breaches, the EFIN and PTIN programs. The PTINs, those are preparer tax identification numbers. And looking at false or fraudulent ITINs, the individual taxpayer identification number that an individual may be assigned before they are eligible to receive a Social Security number. And they also mentioned that there are evolving threats regarding information security. Now, there are also some return preparer program statistics. For field years 2015 through 2018, for field year 2015, 266 investigations initiated, 238 prosecutions recommended, 210 convictions, a 96.8% conviction rate, 204 sentenced, and 27 average months to serve. For field year 2016, 98.6% conviction rate, 2017, 95.9% conviction rate. Field year 2018, 224 investigations initiated, 177 prosecution recommendations, 170 convictions, 96.8% conviction rate, 148 sentenced, and 25 average months to serve. Now, turning to appeals, they mentioned several times that they try and be fair and impartial to both sides. They prohibit ex parte communications. Some information they provided about appeals, they mentioned RevProc 2012-18, Publication 5 lists appeal rights, and IRS Publication 4227 provides the appeals mission and overview. The appeals presentation started with examination and then went to collections. So to begin with examination, the exam level has the 30-day letter. The campus covers audit reconsideration requests. They cover docketed cases such as petitions to tax court. Chief counsel will send cases to appeals for resolution. And the case must be back in the jurisdiction 30 days before a calendar, so meaning that appeals must send the case back to chief counsel 30 days before the docketed trial at calendar. Sometimes there are exceptions to that, but that is generally the protocol. To receive appeals review, there would need to be a formal written protest or a Form 12203 to request appeals review. That appeals, they're supposed to be contacting within 45 days of being assigned the case. They want a conference within 100 days of being assigned the case. Evidence at the examination level, there should not be new issues raised at that point. The types of meetings can be face-to-face, virtual, correspondence, or phone meetings. So who can represent a taxpayer at the meetings? Attorneys, CPAs, enrolled agents, but no unenrolled preparers. That individuals are to submit the documentation before a conference. The examination appeals, they admitted that they are shorthanded. They often need to move to the next case. That regular examination cannot resolve cases based on the hazards of litigation, while appeals can. Looking at rights, there is a statutory notice provided that people have rights to tax court or federal court of claims based on different issues. New issues, it would be sent back to examination for them to weigh in. If there is a new argument or theory, it is also sent back. But if it is corroborating information, then appeals has the discretion not to return the case. So they are weighing the evidence provided to see whether it brings up a new issue, argument, or theory, or if it corroborates what has already been provided. Alternative dispute resolution is available under publication 4167 that discusses types of alternative dispute resolution available, early referrals, fast track settlement. There, under fast track settlement, the appeals officer acts as a mediator. If there is no resolution under fast track, it can go to regular appeals. There is also post-appeals mediation available. They referenced the rapid appeals process. Publication 5022 details fast-track settlement. And to know more about post-appeals mediation, turn to RevProc 2014-63. And they provided a copy of publication 556 in our materials. Next, there was a presentation by Collection Appeals. There were not slides used, but they listed what areas they would cover. Those are what happens in a collection appeals hearing, when to appeal an IRS decision, the appeals commitment, taxpayer slash power of attorney responsibilities, collection due process lien slash levy, offer and compromise, and collection appeal. So collection appeals wants to resolve cases before tax court. Again, they said they are fair and impartial, that if the bill or notice does not mention appeals, then that is likely not the time to contact appeals on the case. Talking about the collection due process or offer and compromise, 30-day time limits to appeal those, or if wanting to do an equivalent hearing, having up to a year to request the equivalent hearing. The collection appeals cases often come from revenue officers, but they are first submitted by the taxpayer. They are to listen to concerns, being courteous and professional. He did say that there is a goal of being timely and responsive, but that is a difficult challenge currently. They have excessive inventories and they are hiring. Again, he emphasized they are to be fair and impartial. Going through on an appeal, a person is to should list all of the issues they disagree with and why, connecting the tax law, listing the issues up front, to be realistic, that additional documentation should be submitted to compliance, that recognizing that new information may be sent to compliance for additional review. When going through the ways to do a conference, he listed phone calls, face-to-face, or WebEx. There are times that there have been three-way conferences between appeals, the taxpayer, and collections. That collection due process is an example. Specifically about the collection appeals program, it's an administrative program. Form 9423, appeals following collection procedures. A meeting must be held between collection manager and representative before it goes to appeals. They might advise the service that they did not follow procedures. That must be taken care of before the case moves on. Offer and compromise reviewed by appeals. They look at doubt as to liability, doubt as to collectability, and special circumstance cases in offers. The appeal must be postmarked within 30 days of the rejection letter, and you use Form 13711 for forwarding that to appeals. In looking at collection due process, he mentioned the 30 days to submit that for the notice of intent to levy, or the alternative of an equivalent hearing, that you have up to 1 year there, but there is no judicial review. The settlement officer will consider collection alternatives, is an adjustment warranted, and using Form 12153. Turning to fast-track mediations within collections, that appeals tries to resolve issues within the collection function. Post-appeals mediation can be requested in appeals prior to a decision letter. And overall, again, he said to be prepared, proactive, responsive, cooperative, and realistic when working with appeals. Thank you for tuning in. I will likely continue my discussion of the Tax Practitioner Symposium on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.